Hello, I'm Shalom.
And I'm Courtney, and this is Almost Nerdy. We love sci-fi, we love fantasy, we love all things nerdy.
And we are about to spoil this movie for you, so make sure you've already watched it. Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to Almost Nerdy.
Yeah,
this is our
back.
Second episode in our new format.
Yes, it is. Welcome back. So if you have not listened to last week's episode, we did the introduction to Black Stories.
Yeah.
So this episode is actually focused on a movie itself within this subtopic.
Right. Yeah.
So for background information, definitely make sure that you have listened to that episode.
Yeah.
Or if you just happen to love The Princess and the Frog, you can listen to this, but we will probably reference some other things that we talked about in the previous episode.
Yeah. And we're using these movies kind of like a North Star for our conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So it allows us to kind of focus a little bit more, and then we'll bring out other things.
Yeah.
But these are just like our little campers to help us like just stay on topic and discuss the themes that we're seeing in the general movie industry when it comes to Black stories.
Exactly. Well, for this series.
For the series,
specifically.
Exactly. Yes.
So we are going to be talking about Princess and the Frog. For a quick little reminder for anyone who doesn't quite remember or hasn't watched it in a while. Also, we're going to spoil this movie, so make sure you watched it.
Yeah.
We said that in the intro, but I'm going to say it again.
You always need to remember. Yeah.
You've had like 11 years to watch this movie, so like, get on it if you haven't done that yet. So basically, Tiana is a hardworking gal.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to raise money for a restaurant, and then she gets all the money, right? And then the lender people are like, no, we're not going to give you this restaurant now. So she's heard these fairy tales, right? And she sees this frog, and this frog tells her that he's a prince, and he'll basically buy this restaurant for her. So she kisses him, and then, boom, she turns into a frog, too.
Yeah.
So a lot of shenanigans, and eventually it turns out that when she does kiss him and they get married as frogs, then she's a princess, so then they turn back into humans. Ta-da!
Right. Right, exactly.
That's the summary.
Even though they're past the timeline, they were kind of like given into being, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Frog and just like chilling like that.
Mr. Mrs. Frog.
It was kind of like a Shrek moment where it's like, you know,
it was a Shrek moment.
You are what you are, and we're just going to do this. And I was like, oh, this is cute. Like, this is like a Shrek ending, you know? And then they changed back.
So we are talking, again, about Black Stories. So we picked Princess and the Frog because, to be honest, this is one of the only fantasy stories that actually has a black lead.
Exactly.
One of the only that we really know of. There's more in sci-fi, like, but fantasy is really lacking, to be completely honest. So we just kind of wanted to dig into the story a little bit and kind of see where that falls in within this theme of telling black stories.
Yeah.
So throughout the week, Shalom and I have been talking about, like, how do we kind of want to talk about this? And one of the things that we were touching on is, like, who's behind the curtain? So, yes, we've got on screen, we've got Tiana, we've got Naveen. Naveen's kind of light. He looks like he's brown.
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
Brazilianite? He's a Brazilian?
The actor's Brazilian.
Yeah, okay.
And so all the actors, again, black. But then, like, let's strip back the curtain, writers.
Right.
So the two writers who are responsible for this story are also responsible for Little Mermaid.
Oh.
So they were hired back because Little Mermaid was so successful that they wanted to, when they were introducing Tiana, which they knew was a big deal because they did want to have, they were looking at, Disney was under scrutiny as far as their princesses.
Yeah.
Because there is not one black princess before Tiana.
Right.
So they were under scrutiny for that, and they were like, okay, these two bros did a great job with Ariel. Like, let's hire them on again.
Right. That's which is very interesting. And I think that I think that there's so much to discuss there, like, mm-hmm. you know, to be like, okay, was that a good direction or mm-hmm. not? But before we do that,
yeah.
we're going to have a quick break. Okay, welcome back. So you've just shared with us that, you know, these guys, the producers, the same guys. Is this the producers or the writers?
The writers.
The writers are the same guys who did
Little Mermaid.
So mm-hmm. they did such a good job and they came back. So I think part of the conversation is kind of like, is it okay for like white people to tell black stories?
As you laugh.
You know, it's such a... I'm laughing because of the frequency of the conversation yes. right now. And I mean, I'll let you lead the way with that conversation.
With the conversation of
whilst I ramp up my response.
He's gonna ramp up. So okay, there are several things I think here that I wanna unpack. So A, this is a woman driven story
mm-hmm.
and we have two men writing it.
Right.
And ooh. On top of that, we also have two white men writing mm. from the perspective of a black woman.
Mm.
And here's my thing. Shalom and I have had this conversation before where I'm kind of like, I would think that I'm a fairly good ally, right?
Mm.
I like to think that about myself. But I think at the end of the day, the best way to be an ally is to step aside.
Right.
Even if you're an accomplished writer, mm-hmm. even if you're an accomplished whatever mm-hmm. it is, musician, mm-hmm. whatever it is, when it comes to something of this magnitude, like this mm. this was a freaking big deal. First black mm. princess within Disney.
Yeah.
And like yeah. you don't even hand off the stage to like someone who's black. And actually this did yeah. cause a lot of controversy at the time.
Mm.
One of the main controversies is that it is in New Orleans, which got hit really, really hard by Katrina and displaced a lot of black families. So yeah. that was seen pretty devastating. Apparently, her original name was Maddie, which oof. A lot of black yeah. criticism came with that as well because yeah. they were like, that's very close to Mammy,
mm.
which is considered a slur.
Mm.
And then on top of that, she was originally a chambermaid, which, although... is historically correct. This does take place in the 1920s. Mm. Historically, it would make sense that she does play that.
Yeah.
Again, they were like, why are you giving her, like, mm. the most racist story of all time, mm-hmm. basically? Like, yeah. why are you giving this
right.
woman the most right. racist story? And kind of, like, the white people pushback on that mm. was like, well, New Orleans is, like, steeped. Like, it's absolutely steeped in, like, black culture. Yeah. Like, the music, the, yeah. like, the history there. It's,
yeah.
it, there's so much culture there
mm-hmm.
that it makes sense that if you were to have, like, a black American princess, she would come from there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the immediate response that I would give to that is, like, that if that's not the story we want to tell... or African Americans want to tell, then that's not the story they want to tell.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that's kind of where the problem is that there's a lot of, like, sometimes we're too smart for our own good, you know what I mean? Like, it's like Green Day and Black Klansmen, right?
Mm.
There was this whole clash of concepts where Green Book has this, like, it's a white ally who is a driver who's mm-hmm. driving a famous black person, right? And so, and that's one story. And then their Black Klansman is a black cop, right, who helps lead the way in sort of, like, confronting the KKK and
mm-hmm.
Confronting David Duke in his younger days.
Through a white ally.
Through a white ally who is such as
Kylo Ren,
and I think that is a similar story but with a very different tone,
mm-hmm.
very different tones, and African Americans just did not resonate as much with, or rather, the majority did not resonate with Green Book as much as Black Klansman. There was a lot of pushback when it comes to, like, why are you trying to tell our stories? Mm-hmm. Why are you trying to own our stories? Mm-hmm. Because there are nuances you will never understand. The nuances you will never understand. The nuances about how when you listen to a hip hop beat, when you listen to it and you hear a certain line, how we respond to it, and I'm saying we as a black person, but and who also grew up with a peek into African-American like hip-hop culture, and I don't even fully understand it, but I'm realizing that there's certain things that I'm seeing that are very like nuances that are very difficult to pick up on if you are white. Mm-hmm. And so when a white person kind of goes like, hey, like the reason why we are doing this movie, we hear the reasons, like historically correct and this and this, like it kind of tramples over that a little bit. I think that it was very important, and you kind of did some research as to how Disney responded. It's important that
They hired Oprah.
Like as the ally is that you slow down a little bit, mm-hmm. just slow down, and realize, hey, you don't understand. You don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. You don't have to get it. You don't have to pressure yourself to get it. It's okay if you're told someone says, hey, you don't get this. It's okay. You don't have to try and defend yourself. And I think Disney went to some lengths to fix that in hiring Oprah and bringing her on board, which I don't think Oprah is really the most perfect person for stuff like that. I would have brought in someone like, I don't know, like...
you would have brought in Spike Lee, probably.
Coates, Ta-Nehisi Coates, you know, like brought someone like that who's telling stories, you know what I mean? Mm. Or Jordan Peele, or I don't know, someone who's like...
These are all telling, people who weren't popular like, yet, know?
But they were there, you know what I mean? These are personalities that are in TV, like who are or trying to make movies.
Yeah.
Personalities that are trying to produce, that are trying to create. Tyler Perry. Like, these are personalities that are... Tyler Perry at that time was making, like... telling black stories, right? And we saw that in Black AF. Like, it's really... When Kenya Barris is kind of trying to figure out how to critique a fellow black producer, writer, he goes to Tyler Perry to get some advice. And Tyler Perry just goes like, yeah, I've always been about telling my stories, the black story, mm-hmm. our stories. Mm-hmm. Because people always look at our stories and go like... And they won't give us Grammys, they won't give us the main platform because our stories don't fit their world. And so to them, they're like, they want us to fit their world first before they give us acknowledgement. But Tyler Perry was just like, I've decided to like stick with my dear and do my dear thing and speak to my people, my community, my people get it. And someone like Tyler Perry would have been amazing as a voice in that situation. I don't know if Oprah was the right person for that. Oprah is a little too crossover for me. Like, she crossed over a bit too much to the point that she can almost appease a little bit, I think, in my view. No hatred on her. She's a great, amazing person. She's not making the movies. Mm-hmm. You know, she's not making any movies. You know, these guys are making movies. And so... So that would be my response to the the producer question. Mm-hmm. Is that bring in producers, bring in people who are who know the story, like African stories, mm-hmm. African American stories, who understand them, and bring them in to speak. Mm-hmm. But not just that, people who are skilled in telling those stories.
Yeah,
which is where I think Disney fell short a little bit on that point. Mm. They brought in Oprah, great. They knew they were missing something, they were not getting it, but I think Oprah was not the best pick for that, in my opinion.
It's almost hard to bring someone on who doesn't do movies,
exactly,
although she is like a persona who I think they picked Oprah because they were like, Oprah is so well known, she's so well respected, she's respected on both sides,
right,
like of the coin, like we've got both like black and white communities who respect her as a person,
right?
So I think they saw her as a real good, like, we're doing this, we want to do it, like, we want to do this right.
Yeah.
But I agree. I just think, and I'm gonna say, so there was overwhelming good response to Tiana.
Yeah.
People liked The Princess and the Frog. It got good ratings.
It did.
It's overall a pretty good movie.
It did.
I I actually love this movie a lot. Like, we watch it a lot. The music's great.
Right.
I love Tiana. I think is a very positive female role model. Do I think she's almost a little too positive a role model? Like, they almost made her one-dimensional? Yes, I do. But I would argue that of pretty much all Disney princesses. I don't think that they give them a real... They're all kind of 2D. They're not really 3D characters with full... emotions and everything. They're all kind of like that. And they all have good traits and bad traits and all of that, but it's like, I think that sometimes they try to get so far away from like the Snow White Sleeping Beauty that they almost made, like, I would argue, like, Belle, Mulan and Tiana almost like unattainable female in a way. And I think that comes from the fact that men are writing it and not women.
Exactly. Yeah, they created something. They created unrealistic situations, you know. And the other thing as well is kind of like, I would say there's a litmus test that's there right now for any movie that's happening. Like, movies are getting judged before they even happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The behind the, what we're discussing right now, the behind the scenes, is now a conversation. Back then, when Tiana came out, I'm sure a lot of people were like, oh my gosh, this is like, finally we're going to get dolls that look like like us. We're going to get, like, you know, we're going to be out there. Like, parent, I'm sure, like, you know, mixed families or African-American, for like, families... were like celebrating, was like, oh my gosh, finally when we go to Disney we know what, like, the doll we need to get, you know. And so
and the princess you need to be
and so and at the same time, I think that there's that, there's this litmus test right now where everything's going, like, who's writing it, who's producing it. Oh, you have two male guy two white people doing it, by, you have two white males doing it, by, you know, like, and so a lot of that would have, the movie would not have happened around this time.
Oh, no, definitely not.
Or rather, they would have changed who's, whoever's doing it. They would have done it differently, because I think people care about, I think one of the things that's happening a lot is that we are starting to enjoy choice a little bit more, you know what I mean? Like, there was a time when it was like, oh my gosh, this is the only princess of color, the only one, and we freaked out, right? And it's the same deal with, you know, I'm gonna blaspheme a little bit, like Obama, you know, like when Obama showed up, it's like, oh my gosh, Obama could, like, I was watching Blackish and Andre was like, Obama could literally, like, shoot a dog or something crazy, right? And he was like, I wouldn't bat an eye, I'll be like, fine, you know. And I was like, yeah, because a lot of it is like, we, a lot of African Americans are like, this is our person, this is our guy, we celebrate him. And I understand that, because it was like, he is the first one, and now we have all these women that are emerging, right? They're emerging, and not only women but men as well. I'm mostly excited about the women. I think a lot of women of color are gonna do amazing things. But all these women that are coming up, and I feel like there's gonna come in an election where it's gonna be like two women of color running against each other.
Oh, we're
like,
talking about politics, you know, now. Like, I thought we're still talking about movies.
Oh, no. I mean, like, I'm landing my point.
Okay.
And what I'm coming to is choice, right? And so now we can turn to Obama and go like, let's criticize Obama's policies and be more honest about policies, right? Because we are getting more options. So we feel a little bit more flexible and more free to actually critique Obama, right? And I feel like that's the same thing with movies as well. It's like when there were, when there was just like, Tiana just came out, that was the only movie we all, like, I mean, I wasn't here, but I'm sure, like, that was looking at Twitter, looking at Facebook, and looking, because I tried to dig, you know, in terms of like live responses from people, and you see a lot of people celebrating the fact that, wow, we have a doll, we have we have this figure that we can look up to. Fast forward to when, you know, Wakanda showed up, you know, the expectations are way different. There's almost like a fear of, I'm afraid to watch this movie because I'm afraid that it's gonna like piss me off, because they're gonna say, do the wrong things that like, almost like will, you know, are racist or something. I don't know. But then also we're like, okay, who's producing this? Who's running this show? Who's doing this? Are these black people? You know, and it was shot at Tyler Perry Studios. And and so we have choice now. And we have, we're starting to have that freedom to critique, the freedom to point out stuff that we didn't have back then. I think back then it's still fine that, you know, it was the first one. It was like the first princess.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful moment. So.
Yeah. And again, like, I do think this is a good movie.
It is.
It's a good storyline. It's funny. Right. I think the music is amazing.
I agree.
There's so many things I love about this. I love that Tiana is so hardworking. I love that she's progressive. Do I think it's like too... I do wonder, though, if someone who's black or a person of color had written this, would they have picked a different time frame? Because it goes back to like what we talked about in our last podcast, where it's like white people almost want black people's time to be before, either during civil rights or like before civil rights or like something like that. Like they don't want it to be like now.
Yeah. You know, it's like, are you trying to sanitize a timeline that was horrible and try and make it better than what it was?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I think that's what happens.
Because the 20s. There's a lot of things in this movie that don't really make sense, though, to be honest. Like this is during Prohibition, and Tiana's serving alcohol in her restaurant.
Maybe they were, like, non-alcoholic.
No, that's not the thing. They were that was wine. That was wine in that glass. I know wine when I see it. That was wine.
Yeah, like I think part of it is like, how important is it for a movie to be historically correct? And I think sometimes it depends on like who, like especially with African American history, with the history of racism, the history of slavery, you know, segregation, Jim Crow. You don't want to sanitize that too much. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Well, especially because a lot of American history has sanitized slavery so much and has kind of tried to erase it in a lot of places where they're like, ooh, that looks bad. Like, let's kind of erase that. Let's not talk about that. Like, it's, and again, it's Disney, though. Disney is about creating magic, about creating memories. So it's like, Disney does have to walk this very fine line, I would say. Of like, you're trying to make, like, you don't want to dig too much into it, but at the same time, it's like, you don't want to erase it. So I think that is kind of a fine line.
Right. I mean, they could have told an African story, you know?
Like, I think they wanted it to be
like an African princess or something. Because actually, everyone else has their own place.
I was going to say, they're all like all over the world. I don't know why I was about to argue like, well, the other ones are American. They're not.
Yeah, they're not.
Besides like, Pocahontas.
Yeah, like, and it's like,
and even that story is very inaccurate.
Right, exactly. It's like, there's a sanitization that I think it is terrible. Like, it's terrible. The movie itself, if you remove history and you remove truth, right, it's a good movie. And I love, now I'm almost there. It's a beautiful song. At the same time, like, you can't help but point those things out and kind of be like, okay, like, moving forward, you can do, we have so many beautiful, like, I mean, like, for me, I always bring up Shaka Zulu, like, who is such a legend in Africa. Like, he's, when you read the history books, you can't read African history books without mentioning Shaka Zulu, you know what I mean? And there's so many mythical stories you can come up with from that. You can come up with so many, even fictional characters with magic powers or whatever that you can come up with. Like Black Panther, like Vixen in DC. You know, there's so many characters that you can create. Storm, you know, like so I think that Disney sort of was a little lazy with that a little bit. Like they could have pushed themselves a bit. And the story that came, like, again, I keep coming back to the, you know, the response was good. And I think we need to remember that, is the response was good, because Disney was actually doing something radical in that, at that moment,
which was 2009,
first black Disney princess. And I think she's in Ralph Wrecks the Internet, I think. She's in that little room as well. Like, she's hanging out with the princesses, which I thought was significant. And I think that, she joined the party, and I think you can only improve from there, you know? I mean, unless if you're anyone, any, you know, corporation right now. They seem to be making really dumb decisions.
They like making bad choices. Yeah. But it's hard. Like, I think one of the things that Shalom and I were talking about when we were kind of getting ready for this podcast is like, how do you balance something that's like, this is actually a pretty good story,
right?
But actually within our topic of like black stories, like I would argue that this is not very good.
Right.
Because it does also perpetuate one of the things that I don't love about this movie, but I also love, is that because she is strong, there's actually this archetype of like the strong black woman. And that is the woman who always has to know what's happening. That's the woman who always needs to have a plan. That's the woman who always, like, she can't show any emotion that's not positive or, like, leadership. And, like, that is actually something that black women say is a major issue for them. Like, that a lot of them don't feel like they can be vulnerable in any way, which is something that they feel like white women are allowed to do. Like, you always hear the phrase, like, white women tears, like...
Karen.
Yeah. Like, that if a black woman cries, like, she's criticized. But if a white woman cries, she can derail an entire conversation.
Yeah.
Like, you can actually derail an entire conversation about how that person's being racist, about, like, what they're doing is hurting people. Because people are like, oh, that person's vulnerable. And this movie was criticized of that with Charlotte. Charlotte's kind of goofy. And it's like, when you look at it from that, like, surface level, you're like, oh, Tiana's got it together and Charlotte's like a goofball, right? So it's like you're kind of flipping the way, like, you would think that you're being anti-racist, but you actually are not. And it's really easy.
Right.
It's really, really easy to fix the strong black woman or strong woman archetype. But in this case, we're talking about strong black woman archetype, is she just has to show a little bit of emotion, a little bit of doubt. Like, when they're on the raft together and they're talking about her dream, like, all Tiana has to do is be like, yeah, like, I'm really nervous. I'm never going to have my dream come true. Like, just that little bit of doubt actually takes away from this archetype. So it's like, there's so many, like, writing techniques that are, like, easy. But again, because this is a man writing, like, they feel like the way to have a strong woman is to have no emotion. But that's really not true, because like, actually, that's very toxic for men as well. It's actually toxic both ways. Like, not to have emotion in any of your decisions, like, is also toxic. Not having that emotional intelligence is toxic no matter what.
So
it's like, again, it's like, get a lady in there. We need some women here to, like, be able to do this.
You know, you gotta know who's in the room when it happens,
No Hamilton.
Like, I'm gonna keep bringing it up every time. But, like, for real, like, who's there? Who's sitting in that boardroom? Because some of these things are things that, like, I mean, it took me a minute to land to, like, when you first shared that perspective. And I think there are some articles that kind of point to that. I took a moment
of the strong black woman.
The strong black woman,
or just strong women,
either
one.
Right, and I actually took a moment to land at that, but then realizing that sometimes even the idea of how young black girls are treated, like at school, right, where it's like young black girls tend to be punished harsher.
Especially if they cry.
Right, like, than their peers, like white peers, right? And because they physically, they tend to mature faster and stuff like that, and that is something that creates that assumption that okay, when emotionally you're there, you've already landed because you're taller or you're there, so you look, or just because you look black, you know. So I mean, some of them might even, like, some of them might actually be growing up, like, physically the same way as their white peers, but because you're black, somehow in their minds they think you can handle harsher emotions, you're gonna handle harsher punishment, so we need to treat you harsher than your white peers. And that doesn't end there. I mean, the justice system goes into that. The way the justice system treats a young black person, like, who's my age, versus a young white person who's my age, very different. It's very different, and that's something that Sometimes in movies, that we tend to do that in movies too, like where it's like, let's create this like this strong black woman. So recently we were watching Octavia Spencer in Truth Be Told, and she kind of has that.
It's
that
an Apple Plus series.
Apple Plus series, mm-hmm. And she's an she's a podcaster, and she investigates.
I think she was a journalist before she was a podcaster.
Yeah, something
it's,
like
it's
that.
It's an interesting show.
It's interesting, and they kind of give us that same kind of personality, like almost emotionless kind of personality, mm-hmm. Which I think is fine. I think it's fine when you have, like I said, variety. When you have variety.
Yes. And there's lots of different people within her family who are all black, who have a varying amount of personalities.
Right.
It's the same thing I would argue of Black Panther. I would argue the same exact thing of Black Panther. Okoye, I think, is pretty straight-faced.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also against all this whole, like, you get so many types of
expressions
personalities.
And I think that coming back to my thing about options, and also coming to the very first thing I said, just get a black woman in there, director in there, get her in there and say, what story do you want to tell? Because because sometimes
they should do it again.
Right,
you know what?
They should do it again.
There
as
should
a
be
movie.
No, not even Tiana. There should be another black princess.
Right.
Well, I guess they're trying to do that with Ariel, with the Little Mermaid remake.
Yeah.
But that's still a remake. It's not an original story.
Right. Like, tell an original story. Bring in a black director, writer, black team. Have a black woman heading up the whole thing, you know, making the final decision and say, what story do you want to tell? Because I think that, well, some of these things, that I'm sure as we are speaking, there are some of our listeners who are kind of debating their mind, going like, well, this and this and this and this and this. But I think at the end of the day, it really lands at bring in someone of color, or if it's a movie about a woman, right? Like, we're seeing a lot of. See, we just watched Witcher, right?
You're taking my point.
Oh,
I've been pointing this out.
I didn't know.
No one listened to Shalom right now.
Okay, I'm gonna hand it off to you because I think you said something really cool.
So I was really excited as I was watching Witcher because I could feel something was very different about this show.
Right.
Do I like the jumping back and forth of time hopping? No. But I could tell you, because there are a lot of strong women leads in this. And I was like, this movie or this TV show feels very, very different.
Right.
And I looked through the credits and they have a ton of women writing. And on top of that, the show itself was written for TV by a woman.
Right.
And you can feel it. You can actually feel it because, again, I do think that a lot of times when men write for women, this isn't all the time, but I would say a lot of time. Actually, I think James Gunn does a really great job of this in Guardians. He's probably one of the only men that I know of who writes really well for women who are strong but are still able to show emotion and have growth, but they still get to be strong.
Yes. Yes, and like, you know, Yennefer is such a great personality.
Yeah.
She's this doubt. But the last scene we just watched is of her, like, with the
fire. You're going to ruin it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hopefully you've all watched this, guys.
But she does. I mean, she's a typical hero story, guys. Last scene, she's BA, right? But before that, she has moments of doubt, right? And it's that story that the nuance is amazing. Mm-hmm. And when you point it out, you're like, no, this is actually, you know, a female director. I was like,
most of the directing, I think, is by men.
Oh, it's men. Okay. But female writer who's like sculpting the story, you can see it makes so much more sense. You're like, oh my gosh, this story is so well told. And I think that's something that needs to happen all the time. If you're going to tell a story about black, African-American, Asian, get an Asian black woman, get whatever your culture that you're trying to highlight, bring someone who has been in it, is all about it, tell stories that are about it. And there are so many producers and writers who are right there, who are well qualified to do that. And I think that's something that I'm hoping Hollywood becomes more comfortable with doing that.
So what would you... Like, there are definitely good, like, allies out there, right?
Right.
So, like, what would you tell? Say that, like, an ally comes up with a really good story, right? Because that happens. Like, I could come up with a really good story that's about, like, a person of color or something like that. Like, what would you tell me if I'm, like, okay, like, I've got this story, and you're like, wow, that's a great story. Like, that should be written. Mm. Like, what would you tell me then?
I would always say, you know, sometimes maybe partner with someone who is a storyteller as well. Someone who would challenge you with what you're saying. So you would
be cool if they partner?
I would be cool if it's a partnership. Like, I'm, you know, we're hearing about Jordan Peele. Jordan Peele is partnering with, I'm struggling with this person right now. Like, and J.J. Abrams is really getting my nerves right now. But
we're mad at him.
They're partnering together to do a project that's like horror and you know, right now, Jordan Peele is like the superstar for it, basically. And for me, even though J.J. Abrams is problematic for me, it's really problematic. His responses to the issues that people had with Star Wars were appalling. Moving on. I have to tell myself to move on.
He does.
But his partnership with Jordan Peele, the fact, and Jordan Peele is not like, he's not a pushover. You know, Jordan Peele will be like, nah. That's not going to work. Let's not say that. Let's not do that. Because even Jordan Peele will write something that some other black people will be like, no, I'm not vibing with that, right?
Yeah.
But the fact that it's Jordan Peele, he can enter into a space with other black people and debate a matter, right? So, if you as a white writer write something and black people go like, yo, what you said there, I didn't vibe with that. You will only make it life worse for everyone else, by you trying to step into the ring with the black community and trying to defend your work. That just becomes an awkward situation. But rather have a black person, you know, African American person who understands the culture, or just say, hey, give them the concept and step away, or say, hey, let's partner, let's do this together. Have them have not just as a token person, as someone who actually has a vote, a vote into what you're doing. As in, like, if they don't also sign off on something, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
Give them the power to speak into it, so that together you can kind of discuss the nuances and everything. And then that person can genuinely be someone who can support you and say, hey, actually, when we wrote this, I signed off on this because blah, blah, blah. And that person can engage the whatever culture you guys are trying to represent. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so, so important, especially for the aftermath, because a lot of times we miss things when we're making stuff. Like, a lot of these big corporations have missed the most obvious things. Like, I mean, I there are things that I just don't understand that these corporations do. I'm just like, that's clearly racist. You guys, I don't even know how you guys, all of you got degrees and you had a 2-hour meeting and came out and said, this is a great idea. Nobody's going to be offended. I'm like, I cannot believe this.
Or
right?
They didn't care.
Or they didn't care. But I think my point is that you're going to miss some things. You know, you're going to miss some things. And if these big guys miss something, you're going to miss some things unintentionally. And you need, or rather, you're going to intentionally step into, like, intentionally go a certain direction. You're going to need to have the right to respond to criticism. Because for me, when if a white person and I'm like, yo, man, you didn't represent Africa well, and then they're trying to like battle me about Africa, like, I'm like, I'm offended by the fact that you're talking to me right now. You know what I mean? Like, not being prideful, but I'm like, I'm African, you know, like, I'm from there. You know what I mean? But if it's someone from Africa who goes like, you know, like, my experience in Africa is different, and here's what I have to say. It's, I feel very different about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think to kind of ground this in the movie a little bit, like, what you're talking about. So, Shalom and I had this conversation about Rey, which is the Firefly.
Right.
And there were a lot of people who were like, that's an offensive stereotype.
Right.
Like, there were a decent amount of people who found him pretty offensive, and they actually tone back his the accent that they used for him a lot. I have actually been to Louisiana, and I so when I was in college, I would do these animal, these like it was called Rescue Rebuild.
Yeah.
So, like, we would go to these animal shelters in, like, pretty impoverished areas and, like, help them. Like, we would build, like, dog beds and fences and stuff like that for them. And so the one area that we went to, Louisiana, was fairly impoverished. And people actually spoke like Ray. Like, that's a real person and that's a real dialect that exists.
Right.
It's the same as any other dialect. Like, there are parts of Philly that have, like, very strong Philly accents. There are parts of, like, you know, there's different, there's parts of the South that have very specific accents. Right. So we were having this conversation about, like, is that offensive? If that is a real person, like, what makes that not offensive? So I'm going to give you the
microphone. I mean, it comes back to who's telling the story. Who's the person who is telling that story? If it's a white person who's telling that story, it does. I can say, like, if it's a white person who's, like, you know, and they're describing a certain type of personality that can come across as a bum, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I will share a little bit about what I've learned about, like, the cookout culture in, you know, in the States, and how they'll talk about that with that one uncle who's like, let me, on TikTok, there's a thing of, like, you know, you show up to the cookout and that one uncle was always, like, dropping whatever F-bombs or knowledge bombs or whatever, like, and he's like, let me tell you something. It's a pretty funny TikTok, right? And but there's an endearment factor when I'm watching that, and you look at the profile and it's a black person. Right, it's a black person saying that uncle who shows up to cook out and is like this. If it was a white person, if I looked at the little circle right to the right, and it's like that one uncle who shows up to the cookout, or sometimes they'll be like that one guy at the cookout who's always like, I don't know, like spinning tails, right? And I look at to the right and I see a white face. I'm not African American. But I would be really offended. I'd be like, this is offensive. This is wrong. Why are you doing that? Like, because I feel like there's a way of, like, back home, we do have a version of that, of people that we laugh about, but there's an endearment. There's a way of doing it with endearment. There's a way of bantering with where there's endearment, right? Like, I have people that when, like, you've heard us playing FIFA, like, playing, you know, online, Xbox, and we just yell the whole time, you know. But this endearment that people, if you didn't know me, and someone just shows up, he's like, this guy's like fighting with some people. These guys hate each other. But it's like, no, this is how we roll, right? And so I think that every culture does have a way of talking about a certain accent, a certain way of doing things. Tyler Perry does that really great. Like, Tyler Perry does, like, I love a lot of his movies end up with, like, a family get-together, like a cookout type of vibe. And it's cool. It's cool. Like, it's like you get to see the different cultures, like, in terms of, like, different upbringings or how each kid turned out. And but the way they do it, even the person who seems to me like the bum, the way that they do it, I fall in love with that personality rather than just despise that personality. And so at the end of the day, it's really there is the fact of who's telling the story. But me knowing it's a white person who wrote this and they are showing this accent, you know, that can be upsetting, you know, a little bit with, you know, when you talk about blackface and how blackface came about and, you know, how, you know, a white person overheard a black person, you know, singing and doing stuff like, and they just took that and they ran with it. Mm. Like, for me, it almost has the same aspect of, here's a white person taking black culture and sculpting it, and yes, of course, it's black actors, but but that person as a writer is controlling how the story is portrayed, and I don't feel right about it. And also,
so do you feel like Ray doesn't have a good, like, do you think he's portrayed in a poor light? I mean, he's kind of the hero in the end.
I mean, he's a hero in the end, but, like, I mean.
And he's helpful the whole time.
The very fact that there are people that are offended by him.
No, they were. They didn't like his accent and they changed his accent.
So, I mean, like, what, in their final delivery?
Yeah, in the initial showing, they said his accent was too thick.
Right.
And so they changed
it. Right. Which, I mean, yeah. Like, so I think that kind of lands the same point. Like, the fact that that's the first product did that, right? Mm-hmm. Is that it just shows that, hey, like, don't you think that you're missing something? The fact that you made the accent that way. Mm. The fact that even though you might actually look at it and you might go like, this accent works. And then when you do the first showing, then people go like, oh, what the H? Like, what's going on? Like, yeah. what's with this accent? The fact that that happened, wouldn't you as a white person go like, you know what? Like, let me bring in an actual writer.
In 2009? Absolutely not.
Right. Like,
in 2009? Right. No.
In 2009, that would have never happened. But, like, I mean, fast forward.
I feel like we've gone through a civil rights renaissance right now. Like, exactly. I feel like there has been so much progress in the span of, what, four or 5 years? It's, like, not even funny.
Yeah.
Like,
and I accept that. I accept the fact that 2009 was the way it was. And there are blessings and consequences. So some people are facing consequences of the choices they made. And it doesn't seem like Tiana and them are facing any, like, major consequences. Besides, I don't know how much you can push Tiana right now as a character that you're like, oh my gosh, like, this is the most amazing character ever.
I mean, she's pretty much equal to any other Disney princess. I mean, where they're like that. None of them really have any personalities, though. I mean, they have personalities, but they're not really like
when you go to Disney. Like when you go to Disney, you're like this is celebrity. You go to Disney, walk up at Disney, you're like, oh my gosh, Merida is doing her thing. Like Tiana. Like she's for that me, popular. I don't remember Tiana like except on the really? Rides, I think. Except no, on the
she
rides.
She has her whole section.
But I didn't see a whole... I didn't see it. Like,
that's
because
you don't
that...
go visit... That's because we don't... We're adults and we don't go to the Disney Princess Park. No, but
I do know. I remember... I remember all the sections. I remember, like... The frozen section. I remember the frozen section.
The frozen section, like in a store. With all the veggies. So I was like, that's the frozen section.
That's the frozen section. I remember Merida had had her own section, like the Brave section, like, and that was like where there were pictures and everything and all of that.
Yeah, Tiana
has one of those. I did not notice it. Maybe it wasn't as popular.
She's in the castle part.
I did not notice it. Yeah. But maybe it's not as popular, but like in my mind going there, and maybe like some of our listeners can clarify this for us, but in my mind, Tiana does not really rank as like up there in terms of popularity.
Well, she's gonna have her own ride now.
As you know, as which because of the Renaissance, right? Because of what's happening right now, or the
apparently
the
it's been in the works
happening.
For the past 2 years.
Yeah,
according to them,
according to Disney, that's that's okay. We'll believe them. We'll believe them.
And it's and the Imagineer who's doing it is a black woman.
Is a black which is awesome, and I'm super excited. I'm really excited about it.
And you know what I like about it, and this is how you can tell it's a black woman who did it, is that it's not taking you through the story. It's after she becomes the princess again. It's not taking you through the story where 90% of the film she's a frog and she's not even a black woman.
Right.
Like, it's actually herself as a princess.
In her store.
For anyone who doesn't know, Splash Mountain is now becoming... Tiana's Bayou something. Right. I don't know if they've named it yet.
Right.
But.
Right.
Because Splash Song Mountain. Of the South is what Splash Mountain was based on.
Yeah. I'm slowly beginning to accept that Disney has had a very racist face.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we recently saw a Confederate flag.
Oh, in the Muppets. Well, that was before Muppets was owned by Disney. That was when it was still Henson Studio.
Oh, really?
But even so.
Really, yeah. Like, even the fact that we saw it and we're seeing it out. Like, we're sitting there. And I'm sure, I bet they missed it.
Well, they were at a fair in the South. So I'm not that surprised
yeah,
that
but
there
still,
are people
like,
carrying Confederate
like,
flags around.
But still, that's, you don't want to see it. You just want to
no, you
be
don't
like,
want to see it.
You know, and I think that right now, like, you're right, like, we're going through Renaissance, and back then, it was kind of, like, meh, right? But, to be honest with you, like, personalities like Tiana did not get the proper treatment that I think Frozen or anything else really got. I don't think so. The way Frozen dropped when, around the world, like, there's a certain way when a movie drops, like, and the impact it has globally. Like, you know, you can sense it. You're like, when Frozen came out, I was like, ooh, like Frozen, like that's an interesting
film. Well, you were already here by the time Frozen came out.
No, when did it come out? When did the first one come out?
You were here, because I knew you.
That was when Frozen came out. 2014? Mm-hmm. Was it 2014?
Mm-hmm. It's not that old.
Or when they were talking about it. Because I knew about a Frozen movie that was coming out. Like, mm-hmm. I knew something. Like, back home, I remember, because we had updated movie houses and everything. And they just, like, spruced them up and everything. And I actually remember knowing about Frozen, knowing about a movie. Like, I was like, I could tell. But with Tiana, I only found out about Tiana when we were watching all those movies. Like, I didn't really know about
Tiana movie. You're a black dude who's already a man by the time that.
Well, I was huge in Disney. Like, don't underestimate my Disney. I actually, to be honest with you, like, okay, my friend, Tendekai, and I, we actually watch a lot of Disney. Like, a lot of Cusco, a lot of Avatar, a lot. So we spent a lot of time just knowing what was going on. So we knew what movies were coming out. We didn't watch everything. Like, we were kind of like, oh, whatever. But some of those things, they just flew over our heads. They just didn't get the marketing that everything else got. Even though they'll push it and they'll be like, hey, Tiana's coming out and so forth. But I think that sometimes, like,
I do think, though, marketing is a lot. Marketing was a lot different between 2009 and 2014. Like, the way they market now, like, especially with social media and everything getting pushed at you all the time, like, it's definitely different.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely different.
But the other movies that came out before that...
You felt like were pushed at you a lot more?
Yeah, like, I mean, with just general Disney, the fact that movies like that just flew over our heads a little bit. Like, you know what I mean?
Because I feel like they pushed, and maybe it's because I was in the States, like, the U.S., where I think they were really trying to push, like, this is an American princess. She's a black American princess. Right. That maybe they marketed harder here.
Right. Right.
Than they did around the world.
Right. So you're saying she was just as prominent as any of the other Disney princesses?
Oh, yeah. They pushed her really hard. They were really excited to have their first ever black princess. Like, they were
pumped. So at Disney World, when you go to Disney World, you think Tiana has just the same prominence as Merida or anyone else?
Oh, okay. I don't think Merida has, like, I don't know why you're stuck on Merida. Like,
no. She's huge. She's a huge personality.
Oh my gosh. Like, over Elsa, though, like, I think Elsa's probably the one that has biggest prominence.
But, like, okay, so Cinderella is huge by virtue of its Cinderella. Yeah. Belle is huge by virtue of its Belle. Yeah. Ariel is huge by virtue. These are powerhouses.
Yeah.
Powerhouse names.
But you keep saying Merida. I don't think Merida has anywhere near. Like,
I would dare say she represented a very different kind of princess, right? When she, like, for me,
she's Pixar, like, though.
She is Pixar, and Pixar did a great job with Merida, but, like, it's like she became a powerhouse. Like, she forced herself, like, maybe not as much as Elsa did, right? Because Elsa just blew into that space, right? Elsa, she just, like, she stepped in. But unreal. I would not say Tiana would, the force and the impact of the other princesses is the same as, like, what, you know, Elsa has done or she, they did okay, not
I feel like we're talking her. About different things, because you were talking about marketing and I said they really pushed her marketing here for her movie.
No, I'm saying prominence, right? I'm saying, what I'm saying is that
I would put Tiana on a lower tier. I would say is on the tier of Rapunzel. She's on the tier of Merida. She's on that tier. But you keep saying Merida's high. I would not argue that Merida's higher.
I would argue that I think she's more popular. Merida is more popular than Tiana. I think
you just like her.
No. I genuinely believe she is more popular than Tiana. Not because I'm not saying she's better. It's not even a factor of liking her. I'm saying I like Tiana. I like the movie. Like, there's a lot. Like, I mean, I have so many criticisms of it. I think they can do so much more with Africa and the lore in Africa.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for them to do that. But I will say this. Like, Tiana functioned as the black friend of Disney. She functioned as the black friend of Disney. Oh, and she took that's what it became. It was, she became this princess that's like, look, we have a black princess and we brought Oprah and Oprah signed off on this, so you guys should be cool with it. You know what I mean? And I think that that's what I'm trying to put out, to say like there wasn't as much oomph around Tiana as the way they pushed the other princesses. And that's just, for me, that's just something that it's just something that I've come to see.
Okay.
Just
I was see, yeah. right. Liberty Square. You can see her at Liberty Square. I knew she was in Magic Kingdom.
I'm sure she's there. I'm sure she's there, but I'm just like, you know, you walk around and like I'm seeing that person there. I'm seeing that person there on a prominent place. I'm seeing that person at a prominent place.
Merida is like hidden away though.
No, she's by the castle. She's by by the coin toss. The way where you do the
That's not an easy place to get to.
It's a lot of traffic.
We literally stumbled upon it. By accident.
I mean, we were walking by. Like, we took pictures by the wishing well. Is that what it's called? And then we walked by, and she was right there. She was, like, right, like, very visible. More outward facing than, I mean, I don't remember seeing Tiana. I really do not remember seeing Tiana. I don't. She I do not remember seeing her. Yeah? You know.
I personally love Tiana because I like a hardworking princess, a smart princess. Yeah. So I like Belle, I like Tiana, like they're my favorite. So I do think I'm biased here, but I knew exactly where Tiana was because I did my research and looked up where Tiana was.
Right.
But again, I'm also like an adult, so I'm not going to do a princess meet and greet.
Yeah.
No offense to anyone who is an adult and likes to do princess meet and greets, but I'm just, that's just not my thing. Not my vibe.
Yeah, it's to be, at the end of the day, it's how much honor are you bringing to your personality? How much,
are you happy that she's getting a whole ride?
I think that there's an awkwardness about it. I think Tiana did not get, like, I mean, she came out 2009, but over time, over 2010, or what, the next 11 years, like, there wasn't as much hype around, like, Princess Tiana as Belle, as all these, and I mean, all these other princesses showed up and just like overshadowed.
Does she even have a restaurant?
I don't know. I don't think so. So all these other princesses showed up and just overshadowed her, like all of them. Like, I mean, like you had, you know, Be Our Guest, you know, like showed, like Belle came out, like all these other movies came out. And I think that they did not set her up for success in that moment. Even though they say, oh, we were thinking about it for 2 years, the fact is that, like, were you promoting her enough? Were you making, were you going like, oh my gosh, like, you know, this is like, hey guys, this is like Tiana, let's celebrate Tiana, let's make Tiana famous and popular, let's put it out, let's give Tiana a show out front, right? At the castle, right? Yeah. At the castle. Is it Tiana's show at the castle? Are they doing that? Like, I mean, so we like in February, like, which is Black History Month, or in June, where you have Juneteenth, are you having Tiana show up and be more visible? Are you making her more visible? Are you giving her opportunities where, for example, throughout the year, you're gonna make Jack more visible during Halloween? You're gonna make all these different personalities more visible during these holidays, right? And are you making Tiana visible during moments where there are opportunities to celebrate Black culture, or do you just keep your, like, say, we have a black friend, Tiana, who's like, who hangs out in some, like, I don't even know what section of Disney.
In Liberty Square. She also rides around on, you know, the boat that goes around the little lake. She's on there, and you can meet and greet her there as well.
The only reason you don't know about it is
because I haven't hyped it to you.
I noticed things. Like, I mean, I'm like, and those are some of the things that I wasn't looking for Tiana per se.
Okay.
But those things where I'm like, I know where Merida is, I know where that person is. Like, it's weird like that. But I basically, like, in my mind, characters like Tiana needed to be put out front to say, hey, we're doing, like, as part of our, you know, fireworks show, like right up the fireworks or before, whatever, like what they usually do, we're gonna do a Tiana thing, like, for in the month of February or in the month of June, we're gonna do Tiana, and Tiana will be like, you know, like, you know, we'll talk about the, you know,
well,
friends.
Well, I don't think that racial...
The whole
concept
of friends in the, on the other side and kind of... Because I feel like that's a interesting...
I don't think that racial reconciliation was really their goal here.
It, which is what I'm saying is that...
But again, that, because that's, it's an that's issue that's where, been led by white people.
Right, systemic.
So they don't know... Right. They don't know that just having a black princess
right.
isn't enough.
Right. And like, that's where I'm landing at.
Yeah.
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 Is that, like, there is systemic racism in when it comes to, like, personalities like Tiana were a bit starved of attention, to mm-hmm. be honest with you. Like, you know, I feel
and
like
they have that Hispanic more... princess, too. I forget what her name is. The Latina one.
I didn't know.
Esmeralda? No.
Yeah.
I forgot her name.
I was like, my Mama Coco?
No, not Mama Coco. We love
Coco.
Coco
is a princess.
She's you a know, princess.
And to be honest with you, those are some things that, like, I think are big complaints of mine. Like, where it's like, are you showing them love? Are you making them something that's, hey, this is worth celebrating. This is worth being in the front,
mm-hmm.
being out front, being mm-hmm. the performance before the fireworks, out front type of thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because, like, are we just, like, going, like, oh, you guys frozen.
Well, Moana's getting a section,
you know,
too.
And Moana's getting a section, too, which I love that. And I think that that's just something that, those are some of the things that can make someone feel like, should I, as a person of color, I'm going, like, do I feel like this character is valued? Like,
mm-hmm.
like, and do I feel like this character is worthwhile? And I understand moms who go, like, well, I saw a lot of posts about, oh my gosh, my daughter is saying, wow, Tiana looks like me. Like
yeah.
me. But then when you take your daughter to Disney, who's the person who's, like, the front lady? You know? Like, who's the person who's, like, our front, where it's like, hey, here's the front lady of the show and that show. Are you having Tiana, like, doing that as well so that, like, black kids can see their hero or their princess be out front and be the person you celebrate? Or are you having it be, you know...
It's always Elsa. It's always,
you know,
Elsa.
It's like Elsa or... I mean, before Elsa, you know, you also have Snow White. Or is mm-hmm. it like, you know, Mickey? I don't know what race Mickey is, but...
He's
you know,
a mouse.
What's that?
He's a mouse.
He's a mouse. So like, so it's those... Those are some of the thoughts that I have. And that is why I think that even in my heart, in my mind... Right, even as we were discussing it, I think this is a good example. It's like, it is a nuanced conversation, right? There's a nuance to it, and so, but I know that they are African Americans, because I'm African. I'm from Zimbabwe, right? I grew up in Zimbabwe, born and raised. Who might even disagree with me and engage with me? So it is a nuanced conversation, which is why I'm like, get more, like, actually Disney. In their world of the executive world,
mm-hmm.
get more black people, black African Americans in there mm-hmm. to speak and be like, hey, yo, we need a month where Tiana is going to be the feature. She'll be up there.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be rocking it out. We're going to change it up. We'll change up the castle a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, so that it fits. And then we'll create a show that people can groove to, and mm-hmm. we have our crowds. And then, you know, maybe the firework display can feature that a little bit more. Like, and I think that, you know, those are some of the things that can really make a difference. So get more mm-hmm. black people to tell black stories into
yeah.
those spaces.
Mm.
Yeah.
And actually, if they did do a show like that, that would open the space for, obviously, you would want jazz musicians.
Right.
You should have black jazz musicians.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like leading more, right. more and more and more opportunity for people right. to get their foot in the door, because Disney does hire a lot from the bottom up. Like, they mm-hmm. move people up. So it's like,
yes.
until you get your foot in the door,
yes.
you don't have room to move up.
Absolutely.
So that does give room to move up.
Absolutely.
I am very proud of them for Splash Mountain. For redoing that,
mm-hmm.
It blows my mind that they made a ride after Song of the South in the 80s, after that
blows
movie was already
my
basically banned.
Yep.
Like, I can't even believe that they were like, oh, this is a good idea.
Yep.
So, like, that's pretty
yep.
wild to me.
Yep.
I know that, like, a lot of people argue, like, they took the story out. Like, I'm sorry, I don't care. Like, this might sound harsh to a lot of people, but, like, I don't care.
Mm.
If it's based in something racist, it's mm-hmm. gotta go. It's gotta go. We're in a cleansing phase in America right now
mm-hmm.
where it's like, there are a lot of things that sound harsh right now. There's
mm-hmm.
a lot of things that sound harsh.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is, things have been taken advantage of for too long.
Yeah.
Been taken advantage of too long.
Yeah.
It's, you just gotta cleanse. This is the hard part. We got to rip the Band-Aid off.
Right. Right. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be painful. Like, and I think that some of the conversations are just, it's some people are going like, but it's like, I grew up going to that mountain. I grew up, you know.
It's the same ride. Guys, it's the same ride. It's the
same ride. But I think
it's just looking different.
It's a different story. And to be honest with you, that's just the nature of reconciliation, to be honest. Sometimes you're going to have to let go of some things and pick up something new. Mm-hmm. Pick up something new because, yes, like, which is where I think you and I disagree with a lot of people on this, where it's like people are saying, like, but what shall I do, like, if I lose my heritage and my culture? And I think part of it is like, yeah, like, sometimes if your heritage is based on a flag, based on a ride, based on, I don't know, something, you know, whatever you're holding on to, on a physical thing, then oh my gosh, like you're actually missing the point. You're missing the point. You're still, you know, Thor trying to save, you know, his home. You know what I mean? You're still like, I keep coming back to that, like, when
it blows up.
But it's kind of like, that's the lesson. It's that, hey, like, your home is with the people that you are, the people that you love. It's love and it's care and it's family. It's not these weird traditions sometimes that we hold on to. But if we're all about, like, hey, I'm all about Splash Mountain, like, if it's not Splash Mountain, I'm going to die, right? I think your heart is set on the wrong things. Your family love is not based on physical things. It's based
on your memories. Like, you will always have your memories. You'll always have your memories.
Yes.
And I know, like, it's sad when things go away, when you lose things. Like, it's sad. It really is. But at the same time, it's like, when you find out that thing that you love has been hurting a whole entire group of people, and basically, like, I wouldn't even, actually, when we went to see Splash Mountain, or when we went to Disney together for the first time, I think Shalom asked if I wanted to go on Splash Mountain, and I was like, absolutely not, as racist. Like, I wouldn't even go on the ride, to be honest. Like, and maybe, again, Shalom and I think sometimes are kind of radical in our views, and some people would be like, you can't hate everything, like, you can't, you're not gonna be able to do anything ever. But I don't know. I mean, I didn't want my husband, who's black, to go on that ride because I was like, that's offensive.
I didn't know.
You didn't even know.
Yeah, I was like, that looks cool. Yeah, I was like, because we went on the Universal version, which is the Jurassic Park one.
Yeah, but Jurassic Park is perfect.
Which was like dinosaurs. And yeah. That was fine. Then I tried to do the one at Disney and you were like, nope. Then you told me about you know. all these other songs south, and I was pretty shocked. Like, I was like, wow, like Disney is a hero of mine. He's one of my heroes, you know.
Walt Disney specifically.
Well, Walt Disney. He's one of my one of my heroes, and it was kind of disappointing. I'm just like super disappointed. I'm just glad I don't see a lot of Tolkien things. I also love Tolkien very much, and I'm just like, right now we're in a time
like
where all
Lord of the Rings Tolkien.
And I'm just glad that nothing is coming up. Like, he doesn't have any tweets that are, like, getting dug up.
That's because he's dead.
Yeah, like, I'm glad that I don't have any conflict. Anyway, I have my fictional version of him.
Let's bring you back, Shalom. We're coming back in.
But anyways, coming back to it, like, I mean, definitely, like, it's a ride that we were looking forward to when things open up again, to, like, going on the ride.
Oh, my gosh, I can't wait.
And recording and vlogging again, maybe. Yeah. Like, and just sharing it with you guys.
So I have a question for you. Do you think that Princess and the Frog did anything well as a black story?
I mean, it took
like, because I feel like we've been kind of negative, but we also said that we love this movie. So, like, what has this movie done well?
Gumbo. I love the Gumbo scene. And it felt like, you know, because I love history. I love history. And one of the things that I've been doing over the last few years, as I've been trying to, you know, like, I want to be an activist, you know, in my own way. And I'm trying to figure out what that looks like. And to do that, I've just been like, reading slash listening to books, and just learning history and learning about just the solidarity of the African community, you know, like and the African American community during through slavery, through Jim Crow, through segregation, and I love the scene where they're sitting by the on the porch
eating and the gumbo.
They're having gumbo and they're just sitting together, and I feel like such a representation of the solidarity they had and the unity that they had. I thought that was beautiful. I love the fact that the restaurants, you didn't see a lot of white people in the restaurants, and mostly black people. That was a bit accurate, like you know,
also white people wouldn't go into Tiana's restaurant.
They wouldn't go because, except the family, the one, the dad, and the best friend. Because the '60s
hadn't happened. I don't know. I don't even know if they would have gone there though.
Exactly.
Like, to be honest, like
they would have been like
segregation.
They would have been like cast out. They would have been mistreated for going there. But I love
white
the fact,
society.
I love
cast the fact out of white society of for white. Going to a black restaurant.
Yes, exactly. And I think that I like the fact that they were the only ones there, and it was like it's more accurate, but shows solidarity. It shows that togetherness factor. I loved that. I love the fact that they did that. I love the fact that the dad was in the army. I love that part of the story. It's very accurate to the story of many African
World War
I. Many African Americans who fought in the wars, like all the many wars, and just there's a sad factor to that, which is when they came back, they just got mistreated.
Yeah,
you know, even though they just fought for their got injured, lost legs, lost whatever for their country, and they came back and their country doesn't love them, and that's painful. At the same time, I love the fact that, you know, history gets to, like, I love that the movie calls us out for that a bit, to be like, he went to the war, he had dreams, he wanted to accomplish things, he went to the war, he died in the war, and I like it when shows call us out for that. So so I love those things.
What about the music?
Oh, yeah, the music is so good. I love the music. Yeah. I love the music.
You think that's authentic?
The music sounds authentic to me. It sounds authentic to me. I've listened a bit to, like, music from New Orleans, and I felt like that's what they were trying to kind of bring about, like, that that sound,
that
feel, that jazz, that almost like there's a sense of, like, organized chaos a little bit, you know, like the trumpets, the use of, and I you know me, I love trumpets, and the use of trumpets, the alligator,
he's so
that
cute.
Was hilarious, and just the trumpets, and just, you know, just that was really cool. I feel trumpets in my soul. So listening, like watching the movie, I felt in my soul. I was like, oh my gosh, this is really cool. So yeah, I love that.
I think something, so this movie came out when I was in college.
Yeah.
And something that college Courtney, like, didn't really get was, like, that was so unfair of, like, those bankers to, like, not give Tiana the loan, even though she, like, had all the money for them, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, that's actually, like, that's probably one of the most real moments for me, because, like, that is a way that, like, the black community has been kept down, like, for a long time, is that they're seen as unreliable because they don't have credit, but you can't get credit without being able, like, so it's literally impossible for Tiana to ever get out without a leg up from someone else at some point. Like, there's no way. For her to get out, because she's never, well, first of all, I don't think that white bankers would even be talking to her against segregation, so, like, all of that, but we're gonna ignore that because it's a princess story, so it's fine. But I thought that was very real, like, that was very real to see her as, like, a not a very reliable, and the bankers being pretty honest with her, being like, oh, you wouldn't be able to, like, handle this property because you could barely even save up for this, like,
that's good.
I thought that was very real.
Yeah That's so good. I love that.
And I love the flapper outfit they put her in. That's great.
Yes.
I'm not a huge fan of her of her, like, transformation dress that she's in. I think it's a little too literal. I think it looks too much like a lily pad. And that has always bothered me. That's not my favorite dress as far as princesses go.
Yeah.
But her other dresses, I think, are very nice. Yeah. And I like them a lot.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Any other thoughts? Shlomo got his rant out.
Yeah, I'm out of thoughts.
we have surprise. A lot. I think I did just want to end with, like, a lot of what Shlomo and I said might seem harsh to some people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you talked to Courtney 5 years ago, I would tell my current self that I'm literally insane for saying half of the things that I say now. I think, though, like, what I would challenge anyone who feels like maybe we're being a little crazy right now, like, you know, white people can tell black stories, like things like that. Like, I would just challenge you to maybe look into other stories, other movies, other TV shows that are produced, written, directed by black or people of color. And just get a vibe for the feel, because the more you dig into it, the more you can actually feel it. Like, you can actually feel like, oh, this is a movie that focuses on a women's perspective, but you can tell it's written by a man. Not that that's inherently wrong, and not that it's that people can't do it, but I think the majority of people don't have the sensitivity to be able to do it well.
Right. You miss something. You always miss something.
And it's not that we don't love Tiana. Clearly we do. We're passionate about her. Shalom spent probably 15 minutes talking about how Tiana needs basically the entire Magic Kingdom to be about Tiana instead of any other princess.
Yes.
So it's like, we're clearly passionate.
Shut it all down.
Shut it down. Make it all about Tiana. But it's just about, like, if you are looking to be a good ally, be serious about it. Like, being serious about it and really listening to what other people say, even if it seems dramatic. Like, I know there are times, like, guys, I'm married to a black man, and there are times that I'm like, whoa, Shalom, you're going way too deep for me right now. And, like, my whiteness gets in the way. Like, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing, actually. But it's like,
you shouldn't be embarrassed, but yeah.
Well, no, it is. It's embarrassing. It's, like, embarrassed to be in a biracial marriage and still have moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, my whiteness is, like, in my face right now. You know, like, I can feel myself being white. And it's just being open to those other perspectives, doing your research, being willing to learn. And honestly, when you get faced with a lot of the, like, when you see injustice after injustice after injustice, like, it makes more sense why we're sitting there and we're like, shut down all of Disney and make a quarter of it only about Tiana. Like, if you really want to show, if you really want to show that you're for real about this.
For real. Do an Africa parade. You know,
Shalom.
Bam.
Like, idea can't come out.
You know, for real, like, you know, do an Africa parade and like, where you highlight Africa, like, bam, or history, like, African American history parade, where you just have, like, just like a whole section, like, literally, like, just go for it, go wild, go crazy. And I think that's, those are some of the things that, like, for me, when I was at Disney, you knew what was important. You knew they know how to tell you what's the most important thing to focus on right now. And there was just this amazing way of them focusing your mind on it. And I feel like I'm super excited to see a parade that tells black stories. Just see a parade that tells the history, you know, of black people in America. Like, in terms of this, the beauty, the art, the music, the celebration, the stuff.
As far as Disney you're talking about?
Yeah, as far as Disney. Like, they can do it. They can do it. Like, they can do, you know, do, like, have some Lion King vibes going on. Like, can you imagine, like, you know, them, you know, doing the dances and everything? Like, it'd be amazing. It'd be pretty amazing, pretty dope. And do it in a way that, like, honors African black culture, you know, like, and really gets people to just see the beauty of it, you know, like, and so I have so many ideas, and I'm like,
sounds like Disney, if you're looking for someone to give you ideas about black people, let me tell you, I've got a lot.
It's probably not me. Like, to be honest with you, like, I think, like, I'll stop myself here. Like, I need to say this. I am a Zimbabwean, you know, like, I am a Zimbabwean, and grew up in Africa. I understand Africa very well. I can talk about Africa all day. I'm someone who has been learning about the Black experience in America, and I've been here for about 5 years. And so,
like 7 years now.
Oh, seven. I keep there 5 years. There is a stop point for me. There is almost like a point where I am limited as to what I know. Even though, as a Black person, I've experienced things that are so intimate in terms of racism, and as a Black person, that I get it. Like, I'm like, I get it. There's systemic racism in the States, and it's crazy, right? But at the same time, when it comes to things like those expressions and those things, I'm excited to see Black, you know, people who are like, that's how I keep saying African American, because like, I'm trying to, I'm in a weird space, right?
And well, because so, you're African-American.
Right, like, almost. I'm African, you know.
Again, almost American. And
we're stepping into almost American.
Yeah, he's going for his citizenship soon.
Right, and so that, but I'm like, I'm trying to, in my head, I juggle those things, right? Yeah. Like, I'm like, I'm African, like you know, so it's kind of weird for me. But yeah, like, it's something that, yeah, like, you know, when you listen to me speaking, know also, like, I'm also trying to give people, like, like Black, you know, African-Americans who have lived here, Black people who have lived here and grown up here, I want to give them a platform as well to say, hey, like, you actually have more experience than me on this. You can speak into this better. You can speak into where the culture can go. You can speak positively into this and say, hey, here's where I think we can go. I'm here to support and help with whatever I can, but I know that there are voices that I need to pass on the mic to, as the mic gets passed on. Yeah.
So I'm gonna say closing remark. We think Princess and the Frog, really good movie. We enjoy it. Great music. Not the best example of a Black story.
Yes.
Of a good Black story.
Yep.
For the reasons that we talked about for a really long time now.
Hope you enjoy it. We banter, so it's part of life.
It's part of life. It's just who we
part
are.
Of our life. So, we love it.
Anyway, as we're rounding up, I just want to thank everyone for listening. If you could do us a huge favor, if you are enjoying this, actually, if you're not enjoying this, can you just like leave us a a five review, stars? Yeah. Like a five stars would be great. Like, five stars. Even if you don't like us, five stars maybe.
Five stars would be awesome.
A review would be great. It just makes our podcast more visible to other people searching and looking to looking into movies and things that we like talking about.
Yeah.
So if you do that, absolutely. Share us with a friend if you like what we're talking about and you know someone who would enjoy hearing two people basically just like rant about Disney sci-fi fantasy movies for like an hour every week.
Yeah.
Like just tell them to listen to us.
Yep. Join us. Awesome. So looking forward to having you join us next week. What movie are we looking into next week?
We're doing Sorry to Bother You. I'm pretty sure that's on Hulu or HBO right now.
Yeah.
Guys, it's sci-fi. It's wild. It's real weird.
It's wild.
Get ready. It's weird. Like, I'm just, it's weird.
Yeah, it's pretty good, though. Like,
but I don't want to ruin it.
Yeah, it's very directly into
code switch.
And I think that's something that many people don't fully understand. And super excited.
It's a really great sci-fi movie. Definitely watch it so that we don't spoil it for you next week. So listen to it.
Awesome. So thank you for joining us on this nerdy journey.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah.